What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of the Cigars and Pot. What is this? The Cigars and Everything Else podcast. Man, I don't even know the episode number. What episode is this, D?
We on 37.
Episode 37, man.
37. Hey,
Can I say it, man? Can I say this?
What's up?
I miss doing this, man. You know, it feels good, man. You know what I'm saying?
It's been
I'm
a few
happy
weeks.
To be back.
It feels good to be back, man.
Yeah.
Like, you kind of get out of that rhythm, man, and you know what I'm saying? Sitting down, having that cigar. Like, I honestly, doing this show is like my mandatory cigar time.
Yeah,
you know?
Mandatory.
And ever
you
since then, I haven't really...
You want to do anyway.
You can't beat that. You can't beat it. Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
You see, I'm rusty already in 2 weeks, man. I done forgot the intro and everything. What episode we was on, all that. We do show prep. I need to start doing show prep, bro.
Hey, man, no. Hey, when you go to the cigar lounge, do you prep your conversations?
There you go. And see, that was the whole basis of this show for those that don't know or haven't figured it out yet. This is supposed to be us at the cigar lounge, and y'all are fly on the wall while we just talk mess. You know what I'm saying? Like, about whatever.
Yeah, man.
And we update each other on the cigars, which is updating you on the cigars, man. Simple concept.
Right. You know what I'm saying? Similar to like the barbershop conversations, only we have those conversations in the cigar lounge. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
You know, you sit down with that cigar and whatever conversation happens in that moment is the conversation that happens in that moment. You know, you're there. So
there you go. Hey, let's go ahead and get into the stars of the show so we can go ahead and get into the everything else. This week, okay. I'm going to be smoking on a La Gloria Cubana classic.
All right, cool version.
That is. Let me let you know the price point on that. That is $12.
$12. Okay.
And I got the Corona
That's a sweet
Gorda.
Spot. That's a sweet spot.
Nice sweet spot for the price. Here's the band. Let me get out the shot. Show the band off. For those who may be interested in knowing... Whatever, man. That never works, man. Well, anyway, man, what you smoking this week, D?
Oh, man, I'm smoking a the Wise Man. I don't know how to pronounce the type of cigar it is. It's by the Wise Man.
The people got to know. They want to buy it.
L. Gwen Gwentz. L. Gwen Gwentz. Gwen Gwentz. Gwen Gwentz. Gwen Gwentz. I have no idea. G-U-E. NSC. I'm smoking a Gwen Gwen today, the Wise Man. Wow. Hey, anything particular bring you to your cigar when you were picking up your cigars for this episode?
Yeah, you know, I normally for me, I grab one for this week's show and then just one for throughout the week just to have some casual. You know what I mean?
Right.
This week I grabbed three. Because I grabbed, I saw this one, and what brought me to the La Gloria Cubana Classic was they had a big poster up there announcing what his rating was. And I said, oh, that's rated pretty high. Let me get that. And then from there, I went to go look for, all right, let me get something for the show for next week. Because this one was, my intention was to just kind of throw it in the stash because it was rated high. And I didn't want to forget about it. It was low. He was running out of them. I said, let me just grab that. So then I looked around and something caught my eye on another one that I got. And it was the band. I had kind of messed with the brand before. It had a good looking band. It was a new release of that brand. I said, let me give this another try. So I grabbed another one. And then I was looking through the week cigar. My intention was to get a Java Mint. I went over there and I started looking in the Rocky area. And this guy said, hey, you seen that new Aliva? They got this new release and it's only for a limited time. I said, man, brother, I didn't come for that. I came for some play during the week. But now I got to get the new Aliva release that's for a limited time. You know what I'm saying? And that was down to like the last two. So give me that too. So I ended up with three. I didn't get my midweek cigar. All three of those probably going to be for the show. But yes, the big poster with the rating is how I ended up with this week's cigar, which is a funny story. Because I'll let you take over from here.
Yeah. Funny story, because my process was almost the exact same. So I went to go pick up my cigars today, day of the show. I'm going to pick up some cigars.
Hour before the show. by the way.
A couple hours before the show. Give me a couple hours. but one that caught my eye was a cigar by Aging Room, the Quattro. Saw a nice little tag on it. Said 2019 Cigar of the Year rated 96. So I'm like, I'm going to go with that one. All right. And I was satisfied with it. Completely satisfied with, okay, we're going to go with the Aging Room stick for the day. And now let me go find a staple. You know what I'm saying? One of, like you said, a midweek cigar, something I can smoke anytime, something I've had before that I already know is going to be good, that I can just throw in a humidor. And whenever I'm ready to pick up a stick, I got one that I know that I like. And I'm going through, then I hit a turn, boom, and then the big posters right in front of my face. I said number 3 cigar rating of the year, got a 96 rating or something like that. It was high 90s. And I'm like, and I haven't had a cigar before. I've had an Aging Room before, but I haven't had a Wise Man cigar before. And the band caught my eye. I didn't show the band, but the band caught my eye. And then that poster caught my eye. I was like, oh, I got to go with this one. So I went ahead and picked that one up and said, all right, we're going to go with the Wise Man today. And I kept the Aging Room, but I didn't get one of my staples. So I might have one of my staples too. So I'm here with two show cigars. And we decided to go with the Wise Man today.
We in the same boat.
We in.
And really, my story happened first because I go before earlier in the week. I went Thursday.
But we had
I
no
went
idea.
Earlier in the week to go get my stick. And so I had this story, but I didn't share it with you. That was my experience. And then today when you went through it, I was like, he went through what I went through.
So the whole time I'm telling you my story, you're like,
I'm like, yeah,
I've been there already.
Yeah, that's about right. I was sitting there thinking, yeah, that's about right.
The whole time I'm telling you.
Exact same story.
Because I gave you my story, but you didn't give me your story.
Yeah, I didn't give you mine. I went through that early, 2 days before you. So it's funny that that's how it happened. But that's great marketing on these cigar shops, man. You know, those scores. They will get you. They don't get me all the time. I normally don't go for the scores. Yeah.
For some reason,
this week it hit me, and it hit you too. That's funny.
It's like, man, I got to get it. The advertising, the poster, the banner. So shout out to the banner.
Aficionado rated yours.
They're grabbing me.
You said it was a – hold on. You sent it to me. What's your price point too? Because you didn't share your price point with the people.
$12.40.
All right. And 95 rating for the one that you got. Now, let me tell you what I got. 95. Now, I'm going to go ahead and get you. Aficionado rated mine 98. So, you know, I just want to go ahead and put that out there.
You're up there. You got a notch on me.
That makes me nervous for this episode.
Did it get a rating for it, like, as far as, like, the number or hierarchy of cigar, like number 1, number 2, number 3?
Did you see
any of those?
I don't remember.
Okay. Okay.
And I didn't remember the rating. I just looked it up. After I saw yours was a 95, I remembered what a rating like, is that won me over. Let me go look up what my rating was. And I went to Aficionado's website, looked up the cigar, and they said they rated it at a 98. So that makes me nervous for this episode, brother. I'm be honest with you, man. It makes me nervous because I say we got these high-rated cigars. I almost feel obligated to give them a high score. And does that reflect on us if we give it a regular old 3.7? You know what I'm saying?
Like, and somebody see these cigars like, man, these guys don't know what they're talking about. What kind of palate they got?
Right.
You know?
It makes me uncomfortable. We're going to go for it, though. You know, we're going to see
gonna keep it real.
98, 95.
We're going to keep it real. We're going to go with what we know, and we're going to say how we feel. Yeah. We never bit our tongue on anything. You know what I mean?
Because this 98 is... That's to me, in my eyes, that's ridiculously high for a cigar.
Yeah, it's very, very few. I don't know about your experiences, but my experience, I have not seen too many rated over 96. And anything rated over 96 has been very rare. Very rare.
Yeah. Yeah. That's ridiculous. But we're going to see. With that being said, I am pairing this with some good old... I ain't gonna lie, it's just Hennessy. I almost said something, you know, I almost just called it a cognac. It's just Hennessy.
You could have called it cognac. Just go with cognac. It's a cognac.
Hey, it ain't, hey, Hennessy. I'm on that hen dog. Like Shannon, I'm on that hen dog. I ain't got my black and mild, you know what I'm saying? I got my stick, but it's Hennessy and some ginger ale in there is what I got going on.
Okay.
Hey, why not? Hey. Why not, brother? You know what I'm saying? Why not?
See the spill. There we go.
Cedar spill.
We in there.
He got the same thing I got. We rocking those dark fire cedar spills. You want one? You know, DM us on Vernon's underscore cigars and you can get some.
We can get them to you.
Email us at VernonCigars.com. You know, we get them out to you. These make a world of a difference, man. I'm telling you.
Hey, and quick confession. The reason why I'm using my cedar spill today is not necessarily to treat the smoke. It's because my lighter, I'm down on low on butane.
You got it. Whatever. Once you spark it, you got to go.
I got to catch that flame real quick.
Yeah.
So I'm ready. That's the reason why I'm using cedar spill. So for that fact, if you're struggling with your lighter, hey, cedar spills helps out tremendously, man. Gets you going. Gets that flame going.
Oh yeah, big help. I'm using mine to treat it. I want the best experience possible because I don't want to cut no corners on this. And then I'm sitting around mad at the fluid on it. You know what I mean? Plus, I'm gonna light this cedar spill with a match just to be double safe. You know what I mean? But
nice.
I got this right here, regular straight cut. I'm kind of torn if I want to punch it though. I kind of feel like I want to punch it.
Go with the straight cut. I'm gonna say straight cut. I'm with the straight cut today too. I thought about doing a V cut, but I'm like, nah, let's just do a classic straight cut. Me, what I'm pairing my cigar with is just a whiskey, Jameson. I'm drinking it neat, so no ice, nothing with it, just straight neat whiskey.
Okay, I ain't mad at it. Uh-oh, I can tell. I can tell that boy out of fluid.
You already clicking, right?
Click, 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 click.
Hey, before we get too far in the episode, man, so we are on episode 37.
Mm-hmm.
And we usually do a sports player who wears that number of the episode that we're on. And I couldn't find too many people who wore the number 37, but I got a nice one for you.
Who you got?
A man, Meta World Peace, Ron Artest.
Ron. Yeah, I rock with Ron, man. Oh, Ronnie Artest. He can be it. It's the Meta World Peace episode.
And no hate to him, even for what he did in Detroit. You know what I'm saying? Malice at the Palace. You know, I'm a Pistons fan, so you know I was all into it when that happened.
Y'all deserved it.
It was a game, man. Emotions got high.
Now, emotions got high, but the fans didn't have to get involved.
But you got to think, when it comes to being fans, man, we just pretty much as much as the team as the player sometimes.
No, y'all ain't.
You know what I'm saying? We're investors. You know what I'm saying? We keep the franchise going. If it wasn't for the fans in the seats.
I hear you talking. I don't buy it, though.
You wouldn't have a franchise. And to be any sports fan in Detroit, you know what I'm saying? We've been hurt. Hurt a lot.
There you go.
We've been hurt a lot. You know what I'm saying? So those emotions get the best of us. So I don't excuse the fans for what they did, but I can understand the fans for what they did.
Nah, brother. I don't want to hear it because y'all was winning during that time when y'all did that. Y'all was up during them years. Y'all was just bullies. Yep. Let's be honest. Y'all was on some Detroit bully stuff.
Y'all and we always, though.
Yeah.
If you think about how to – and Dominican Sue. Bully mode. Bad Boys Pistons 1 and 2. Bully mode. It's what we do, man. It's what we do.
It is it.
Bully mode.
So don't tell me about how y'all was hurting because, you know, the team's been struggling and, you know, morale was down in the city. Nah, morale was up. Y'all just some thugs, man. That's all it is, man. Y'all just some thugs. Hey, look, you know, there's a story. Ron Artest tells the story, or Meta World Peace tells the story. About it was like, hey man, don't you hit the wrong dude. He's like, nah, I didn't hit the wrong dude because the dude I hit was the dude who bet the dude that he couldn't hit me that threw it. So he hit the dude who actually initiated the bet when we all thought he hit the wrong person. So he hit the right person. So that, yeah, they some thugs, man. Just some, hey, look, I bet you can't hit them with your cup. Who can't hit them with their cup? Watch this. Whoosh. And then next thing you know, everything just going ham in there, man. Like, nah.
Haywire after that.
Haywire.
So was it was it warranted? Absolutely. Absolutely. It was warranted. So no, like I said, no slight to Metal World Peace for the whole palace brawl. You're a man too, just like everybody else. You gotta do what you gotta do.
Yeah, man. They could have got that off on a different team. Maybe at the time they could have got that off on maybe the Miami Heat or somebody from that era. Who else had a team they probably could have got that off on?
But you got to think, during that time, Pacers
maybe
was
Minnesota,
formidable.
But KG was in Minnesota, so probably
Pacers. The Pacers were formidable during that time. They were some ballers too.
They were the Black Pacers back then. So they picked the wrong team to try that mess on. You know what I'm saying? Like, the Pacers were some thugs, bro. Like, they couldn't.
Yeah, they were. The wrong that group of Pacers, yeah. Yeah.
They probably could have got that off on Boston at the time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they could have got that off on, like I say, the Heat. I don't know who was in Miami at the time. Really nobody, you know.
Yeah.
Hawks. You could have got
I think Wade was out there at that time. But I don't think he's going to swing on nobody, though. He ain't going to swing on nobody.
When was this? 2002? 2003? Or was it 2004?
I got to look it up.
I'm just saying, man. There were some softer teams he could have picked. Like, I don't think you could have got that off on Sacramento. You couldn't have got that off on the Lakers. You couldn't have got it off on Sacramento. You couldn't have got it off on Philly. Like, that's a team.
The 04 Sacramento squad, the Weber and them boys. Nah.
Weber and Mike.
All them European boys, too, man.
Chrisley.
The Europeans.
Bibby. That's what I said. Mike. I couldn't think of his name. And them boys, you couldn't have got that off on them boys back then, man. Like, in certain teams, it was tough.
Right.
But
you could have got maybe the Spurs. You could have did it to the Spurs.
Probably the Spurs you could have pulled that one on. You couldn't have pulled that on. I don't think you could have pulled it on New Jersey. They seemed to have a toughness even though they weren't.
Oh, I think they had like Kenya Martin at that time too,
Kenya
right?
Kenya Martin, Jason Kidd.
Yeah, now you don't want smoke that way. No.
Yeah, man. You couldn't have ran at them. But especially Indiana, bro. Like,
Meta, Steven Jackson. Come on. They have on Jermaine O'Neal?
Yes. Jermaine O'Neal, Jamal Tinsley. Like, you couldn't have ran that. What you thought was about to happen? Like,
they picked the wrong night. Wrong squad, wrong night.
It was the most prepared to fight team in the league at the time. Like, yo, bad boys wouldn't have tried them Pacers. Mm. Let's be honest. Like, it would have been too even.
They
like,
they would have thought twice. You know what I'm saying? They
thought twice, man. Like, all right, man, it's going to be a fight tonight if we try these jokers. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, man. But yeah, man, shout out to Meta. Shout out to the Malice at the Palace. Good times, man. NBA ain't been the same since, be honest with you. No. Ain't been the same since. That's when the NBA kind of got friendly after that.
Yeah, everybody had to get scared. Hey, they had to prove that they ain't, we're not a league full of thugs. And, you know, I know everybody's got tattoos and cornrows and baggy clothes and do-rags, but no more do-rags and only suits. And
everybody got to wear the suits, yeah. Had to wear the suits after that.
You know, they had everybody pissed off after that, you know. But even Tim Duncan was mad. Tim Duncan like, man, can't I wear my linen clothes? I'm a island boy, you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah. Dominican, right?
Everybody.
Yeah.
Hey, what's the first thoughts on these cigars, man?
Man, I ain't gonna lie, man. My cigar started off really harsh. even during the first bit of our conversation about the Malice, man, I'm sitting here fighting it. trying to be tough for the camera.
That harsh?
But man, it came out harsh, yes. My first light was harsh. Very harsh. And I didn't look at any specifics about the cigar just yet. I started to pull up the information when we're getting the show started, but I did not pull up any information. I don't know about the peppers or whatever, whatnot, what to expect about this cigar. I know absolutely nothing but the rating and that it was a number 3 cigar last year. That's all I know. Yeah, but yes, harsh. Harsh.
So, let me ask you this then. Has it smoothed out at all? Or is it still harsh right now?
It's more harsh than I would like it to be, but it's not as harsh as that first light.
My initial
light so yes, it's
harsh also, but mine mellowed out after about the third. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? After third time, I was good. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like,
right.
At this point, it's very smooth, got a creaminess, rich chocolatiness to it, and mm-hmm. that cedar is coming through. I don't know if it's off the spill or what, but it's got a cedar.
Could be off the spill, yeah. So I got a question. I don't know if you're familiar with this. So before the show, I was talking about the spots that I noticed on my cigar. And from what I remember seeing, that it's actually a good thing. It could be confused as like mold or something like that, or like maybe your cigar is, you know what I'm saying, not been taken care of well, but it's supposed to be oily bumps or bumps from the oil on the wrapper
mm-hmm.
called plume. And it's supposed to be from the aging process. As it ages with the wrapper on it. So it's supposed to be a good thing, but I don't know if that is a contributing factor to the harshness that I'm getting. So I have to look more into plume. I don't know if any other cigar smokers, aficionados out there know about plume on your stick and how that affects your stick. If you do know, help us boys at Vernon Cigars out. You know what I mean? But it's my first time encountering it. I've seen a post about it. I've read about it, but it's my very first time actually encountering plume on my stick. I don't know if you can see it on the camera, like these little small white bumps.
Not really.
Yeah.
But hey man, good luck with that. That's all I got to say.
We're gonna find out the hard way. Either way it go, we're gonna find out the hard way.
Yeah, you got at least an hour with that stick, man. You know what I'm saying? So good luck with it. I'm plumeless over here, and I'm nice and smooth.
All right.
And you're relighting already. Oh my goodness, what a day!
I couldn't puff it like I wanted to at first. You know, I got to get that those first initial puffs to keep the light going. It was too harsh for me to keep it going.
Oh, mine's smooth.
And I will say off the relight, it's a lot smoother off the relight so far.
Ah. I'll go on it. Kind of hoping that was going to be your experience, brother, just to be honest with you.
Throughout?
Through and through. I wanted the whole thing to be exactly what you're going through right now.
Well, we're doing just a comedy show today,
your reaction,
huh?
You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
We're doing a comedy show today.
I just wanted to see you go through it, man. You know,
well, I don't know if you noticed, man, but I was struggling off that first light. I was trying.
Man. I wasn't paying attention. I was in my own zone, but you know, I had to watch it on the playback, man, to check you out. I would love to hear a good rant at the end as your review. You know what I'm saying? So that's what I'm saying. I'm here for the rant, baby. I'm trying to see what's going down.
Yes, sir. But yeah, we're here for the ride. Yeah, what's up?
Let's get into some everything else, man. Now,
Okay.
You mentioned to me there was some stuff you had on your mind, and I mentioned some stuff that was on my mind. I don't remember what yours was, so I'm going to jump into mine, and you can do yours later on.
All right, go for it.
I want to get into this cancel culture, man. This cancel culture is bothering me, man. It's been working my nerves this week. And, of course, it's got to be Kanye we talking about. You know what I'm saying? You know, this is...
He's at the top of the list of the cancel culture right now.
On everybody's list and in the conversation for everything, man. And for me, I said maybe what, episode or two ago, about how he's somebody who I have a love-hate relationship with, and I just kind of gave up on him. But here's the thing about me, right? I'm not the type of person that likes to sit back and watch anybody get ganged up on. So, like, if everybody's doing one thing, it's like, all right, let me go do something else. Or even if I pick on people, I've always been the type to not pick on people in a way where I think it's going to hurt them. Like, I'm not a... Mm-hmm. I'll joke on you in a way that I think we all laughing together. But when it gets to the point where it's like bullying or we all ganging up on somebody, it's like uncomfortable for me. I kind of back off at that point. same time.
Right. I feel you.
Everybody has jumped down this man's throat and said, we're canceling him. How did we get to a point in time where you the arrogance to say that you can cancel somebody?
Cancel somebody.
I don't like what you got to say. We're going to cancel you.
And you lose all your endorsements. I mean, from what I heard, he lost his billionaire status from losing all of his endorsements that he lost.
The bank told him, come get your money, brother. The bank canceled.
The bank told him, come get your money, yeah.
What world are we in?
Here's the thing. Like, this cancel culture has gone more than just off the entertainment realm. Like, they're canceling your business. They're canceling your personal life almost. Like, it's trickling deeper into just what we used to call cancel culture as far as, like, you in the limelight. Like, okay, you might your limelight might be affected by something that you're canceled by, but it's kind of creeping a little too far into other avenues. I think more and more people are looking at canceling you more so than, okay, maybe you might not get as much radio play as you did last year. You might not get so many endorsements or commercials as you did a year ago, but you still could live. You can still, you know what I'm saying, operate in a sense, depending on your egregiousness of your offense that they're canceling you for. You know, we've seen like people like, what's his name? Don Imus or whatever, lose his radio gig, or the guy from the Clippers lost his franchise.
Don Imus didn't even lose his right away. He said nappy-headed hoes and stayed on air for a while afterwards. He got killed.
Yeah.
He messed up and said something again. Like,
soon as that Breakfast Club interview was dropped, they started canceling him that day. His cancel process started that day.
What? When did we lose sticks and stones can break my bones, but words will never hurt me? When did we outgrow that as a society? You gonna cancel me because I feel how I feel? Or I say what I say?
Yeah. Yeah.
And they're gonna blame it on the fact, oh, he's powerful. He has influence. Influence to do what?
What?
To do what? Right. Other than tell people, hey, this group of people has messed me over in business. What are people going to do now? Not in business? And crazy is that what you're concerned about? Because now you're not doing business with that man for what he said. So what's the difference? You basically did the same thing to him. It's hypocritical. Like,
yeah. Yeah.
Hey, we shouldn't. Hey, my people shouldn't do business with this group of people. Cancel him. Now nobody's doing business with you. Trying to make sure we don't eat. That's what it looked like to me. Like, you know what I'm saying?
But I mean, that just goes to show you, this is the same person who said that George Bush doesn't like black people, what, 18, 17 years ago?
Yeah.
Was he canceled then? Spoke against the president in a racial situation during a tragic time in America, right?
Right.
And that just goes to show you that night and day difference. You go on the podcast, you know what I'm saying, which is not nationally televised, like the time when he spoke about George Bush, and you're canceled because of what you said on a podcast?
He said that on CBS, probably, you know what I'm saying? Back in 2005,
It was not even just CBS. I think all the major networks were broadcasting that. You know, when they do those
telethon. It was like a large
NBC
telethon.
Would pick it up, ABC would pick it up, Fox would pick it up, CBS would pick it up, and they're all televising this at the same time.
He did this on Drink Champs.
Drink Champs, a niche podcast.
By Noriega, the rapper. What? He did it on his podcast.
Yeah, like granted he gets millions of views. But your average person in Nebraska probably is not going to be watching Drink Champs. You know what I'm saying? Middle-aged person.
I would have never known about it if people didn't throw a fit about it. I wouldn't even watch it. Wouldn't have never hit my radar. Never. You give attention to stuff and make it bigger than what it is.
Right. And I think that's what cancel culture does now. That's what it's designed to do, is to push you on a bigger platform and say, hey, look, this is why we're canceled. Like, they put you on the Jumbotron. You weren't trying to be put on the Jumbotron, but they put you on the Jumbotron, and now I got cause to cancel you because of how you feel about business.
About business. Everybody's so sensitive. I looked at a clip today on T-Pain. He was on his podcast, and he was doing like he had some cards. He was doing a game, and they were like words that I'm putting it together. I'm piecing the story together. Mm-hmm. This is to be assumed, but I'm guessing it was words that Black people say, and you know how we run words together and just make our own little stuff.
Yeah,
it was the word was white people.
Yeah.
And he was like, "Well, can you use it in a sentence?" The card, T-Pain read off the card. It said, "When I heard that they were wrestling with an alligator, I knew it was white people." And he had to spell white people, and it was WYPIPO. But it was white people. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
That's how we talk sometimes. So, but the goal was for, it was Chance the Rapper for him to say WYPIPO. He had to guess it without the context of that. Now, I look in the comments and there are people calling T-Pain racist in the comments for that. Because he's playing this game and the word was white people and the example was, I heard he was wrestling an alligator, I knew it was white people.
So he's racist
for picking now on how
Black people put words together, how we mispronounce or misspell phonetically or however you want to phrase it, a word, and then he references it to a act that has been talked about in pretty much, I don't know, thousands of comedic acts before.
Yeah.
We talk about the difference between this race and that race and, okay, this happened, so I know that was this group of people, or that happened, I know that was that group of people. Never been a problem before.
Everybody's so sensitive. Now, you can't even speak on another race, or everybody's looking for a reason to be offended. Everybody's looking for a reason to be offended now, right? So you get this, right? Check this out. I'm realizing the hypocrisy of the world. Everybody's always saying, hey, you can't say this. Or why you always complain? Black people, why you always complaining Black people? Stop complaining Black people. Ain't nobody out to get you. Stop complaining. And Black people, we got to take that. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden, the moment somebody speaks on somebody else's race, they get in the uproar. Because they really just wanted their opportunity to be mad. Everybody wants their opportunity to be mad. Black people are mad year round, and you downplay our frustrations, but then everybody else is just looking for their opportunity to be mad. They ain't got nothing to be mad about yet. So, but the moment they get their chance to be mad, they're like, my turn. Hey, I'm offended. Hey. I'm mad. I am appalled. And it's like, in reality, y'all mad at less stuff than what Black people going through.
Yeah. The offense that you're mad at is nothing that hinders you as a group.
Of course not.
You know what I'm saying? So like that just goes to show where the mindset is that I just want to be able to be offended too, because you've been offended and you've made me feel bad all these hundreds of years, decades, or whatever you want to say. Now, nope. Look at this now. I'm in that same boat. And they try to leverage, not necessarily leverage it, but level it to the same playing field as it's the same type of offense. It's kind of like, well, you picking on me because I did this and I said that, but now look at how you treat me. Look at how you treat me.
Yeah.
And want to put it on the same playing field. It's not the same level playing field.
Yeah, it's not. It's to the point now where like we're losing, and maybe this is a good world to go in. Maybe. But we're losing the idea where if you are up, you just got to shut up and take it. And if you're in a group that's down, you get to make comments about those is up. And those is up don't get to, like, let me get an example, right? We're in a world now, back in the day, it's okay for fat people to pick on skinny people, but it's kind of mean skinny people pick on fat people. Now we're in a world where the skinny person say, don't pick on me because I'm skinny. Blah, 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 blah. But meanwhile, while fat people complaining about getting picked on about being fat, you telling them, oh, be quiet. Just take it. Ain't nothing wrong. And then the moment that the skinny person get picked on, now they, woe is me. They're the victim all of a sudden. Like rich people, poor people can talk about rich people all they want. The moment a rich person start picking on the poor people, it's uncomfortable. But now rich people are saying, don't pick on me for being rich. I want you to act like I'm not rich.
Yeah. And then especially in the sense of where Kanye was speaking about wealthy people, that wealthy population who are these owners who own the record companies and own the clothing companies and all these entities, they're rich. So honestly, what are you saying about me that's going to hinder my ability to still conduct business and make even more billions of dollars?
Nothing. Nothing. Nothing at all. That's the problem. You know what I'm saying? We're at that point where people who are not victims, they want to play victims now. Mm-hmm. We're in a world today, and the word came to me, D, oppressor. We're in a world today where the oppressor doesn't want the oppressee to be able to speak on them anymore. Now they want to play victim to back out of it. Like, you know what I'm saying? And I'm not calling any group of people like an oppressor in this example. I'm just giving an example. You know what I'm saying? This ain't pointing the finger at somebody specific.
Cancel.
Yeah. But you know what I'm saying? That's why people be getting canceled, because they be in the moment and emotional and speaking, and then they don't sit around and cross every, T and dot every I to make sure that you understand, because context is lost in this world, because people don't take the time to listen to your whole statement. They're ready to speak before being heard.
Make it make sense of what is being said in its totality. Instead of picking out, you said this piece. What do you really mean by that piece? And not putting the whole conversation together, the whole idea together. And even if it is misspoken or a misguided thought that came out, get to the bare or to the basis of what that emotion is. Why am I speaking this way? It's some validity to it. Now, whether you agree with the whole level of validity, or can you go in and actually pick out what's the piece that's actually valid. Okay, I see you actually have a point. You might not get the whole picture. You might not understand everything. Let me show you everything, but this is where that idea is coming from, why you're offended, why you're hurt. And this is why you're saying what you're saying. But we'd rather just shut somebody up completely instead of having to deal with what the offense truly is.
Yeah, exactly. We want to cancel them. Talk to me. Listen to me. Tell me if I'm wrong where I'm wrong. Don't just label me and not take the totality of what I'm saying and make me think different. And if you can make me think different on my stance, then I'll apologize to you. Don't cancel me for it, though. You know what I'm saying? But go ahead.
What should have happened with the whole Kanye situation is, let me pull you to the side and let me educate you on X, Y, and Z. Why do you feel the way you feel? Okay, now I understand your point, your plight. I'm sure that there's some validity, or a lot of validity. Or not, I'm not even going to say any possibilities. There is validity to a lot of what he was saying. Now, is it a little bit misinformed? Possibly, because we don't know all the ins and outs, and we don't know all the reasons of this and that. Just like he had to come back, a decade later and say Sway had the answers. Sway had the answers, right? Because he had to sit back and look at all the processes that happened throughout time, be re-educated. Now, was he right in his emotions even in that Sway interview? In a lot of ways, yeah. But stepping back, being a little bit more removed from it, he can see, okay, this was right. I was still right about this, but then my mind state of where I was my blocker to be able to see all of the answers, all of the truths, all of what is right and what is necessarily truly wrong about what I'm saying. But we cancel people. We didn't get to that point.
Never. We give up on them. We give up on people so fast, instead of trying to, once again, like you say, educate, understand, and then educate where there's grounds to educate. Somebody like a Kanye, right? To write him off, regardless of how you feel about him, regardless of how I feel about him and my frustrations with him as an individual, he means a lot to a lot of people. And taking your time to make sure that he's got the right perspective, or that he's well-educated, well-informed, and means a lot, because he can do more for the world than the average person can. So you don't need to cancel him. You need to have him informed. You know what I'm saying? Now he can feel how he feel, but that's not the type of person you need counsel. He's too far up in the hierarchy of things now. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You go cancel somebody, you cancel somebody that's cancel me right now. Like, you know what I'm saying? You don't cancel him. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, he's powerful now.
Don't cancel the person.
He's not powerful because they did what they did to him. But you know what I'm saying? But
yeah, he has a certain level of power.
The fact that they can do that.
And I would change the word power to influence. He might not have all the power. There's too many other big fish that truly have the power.
Yeah, but he's not powerful at all, actually, of
influence. Yeah.
Even as a billionaire, showed he's not powerful. It's still levels.
It's still levels.
Yeah.
You can have $1 billion.
And they flexed a giant muscle on him.
He said, nope, you ain't quite there yet.
You ain't nowhere near there. And I seen an interview with him today. He said after they canceled him, you know what happened? He said he found out that he owed they sent him his taxes for $27 million the week after he got canceled. He said he had just got to the point where he had over $100 million in his bank account. He said, I'm being honest with y'all. I had over $100 million. They sent me my taxes for $27 million. Then I found out that somebody had been hiding $40 million I owed to someone else. So all of this happened the week after he got canceled. All of this stuff is all coming out. Now, that puts in perspective how quickly, if they want to break you down, they break you down. You think you got power, you ain't got no power. He said,
like,
been paying him still based on the contract. They canceled. He said they illegally canceled what they were supposed to have been paying me. It was wrong to do based on the contract, how they did it. So that's why he ended up losing so much of his value. They took him out the payroll. They was never supposed to take him out the payroll. So he wasn't supposed to lose that money. So not only did he lose the $100 million, he lost the money that he would have had
as
liquid assets, which contributed to his net value. You know what I'm saying? So
jeez,
that's the game, brother. Like, you know what I'm saying? That's his weird cancel culture. Like, where's my First Amendment in this? Where I can say what I want to say. And it's your decision if you want to mess with me or not afterwards. I can say how I want to say, as long as I'm not physically going out hurting nobody or telling somebody to go hurt somebody, then let me be able to speak freely.
Right.
But we're volunteering away our First Amendment right with this mindset that I don't like.
But it's only for
cancel him.
It's only for a certain group of people. That's not everybody. It's only for a certain group of people.
Well, because black people don't have the power to cancel nobody. And, you know, you feel how you feel about that statement, black people. I'm a black man. If you listen to this somewhere and you didn't know, you didn't ever look at the thumbnail, I'm a black man. You know what I'm saying? We don't have the power to cancel nobody. I wish we did. I would get to canceling if we did. We don't have the power to do it. We just take statements from people and get mad
cares. But that's the thing. Even without having the power to do that, you don't have that power. But then you have the power to be able to speak your mind and speak your mind freely. And now they're trying to take that away. They're trying to take that away. As long as you can't say anything that's going to be offensive. It's all we ever had. And now you don't have that.
Think about it. Think about it this way. As black people, all we really ever had was being able to crack jokes about white people, and they'd be like, oh, yeah, you know, you got us with we do our little white voices and make fun of them. And that's all we ever had on them. Just freedom of speech.
And now you can't even do that.
And now we're racist when we do that. Now, so the one thing we did have, that's gone. Like, you know what I'm saying?
You can't have a critique in jest anymore. Like you said, that's the one thing that we definitely had, to be able to crack jokes. Because guess what? They have this a certain level of power. So our little jokes isn't going to be enough to shift society. Yeah. But now we're just living in offensive culture now.
Why are we in this race conversation? Because we don't do it often on the show. You know, if you're mad about it, get over it. You know what I'm saying? Come back next week. You know what I'm saying? But this week we're talking about it. Why are we in the subject of it? I'm going to say this. We, as black people, when black people say the word, when they say white people, it ain't Bobby driving trucks. It ain't John at the grocery store that black people talking about when they say white people. They're not talking about the average Joe. I'm not talking about you in the cubicle next to me. Like, you know what I'm saying? They're talking about the wealthy and elite. You know what I'm saying? The powerful
The high up. Yeah.
But some reason, everybody feels like it's an attack on them. I'm not talking about you sitting here beside me on the bus. You just like me. You can't do nothing. Like, Are you talking about me? No, I'm not.
Somebody was reading a it was not an article, but it was like a post of something. I can't remember exactly the source. But this actually was yesterday. And they were saying how there's a group of white people who are offended of being called white people.
Why is that?
I have no idea. I want to find out some
Euro-American
about it.
What do they want?
But now there's offense to being called white?
Yeah, like, I mean, black people just offended by being called black people. I don't.
No, but I get that. I understand that because there's negative connotation that comes with the idea of black. You know what I'm saying? Black is ominous. Black is, you know what I'm saying? It gets dark outside, you get scared. You know,
yeah, but
you see black.
You know what I'm saying?
But that's always been a thing. And tapping into my African-American studies, the reason that black became a thing was to throw that negative idea and stigma on people who have a certain hue, a certain color. That was manufactured purposely from the French. If you think about the French, you think about the word Negro and negra and what that means and, you know, how that connotation towards black. It was supposed to be meant to put a negative idea about people with a certain hue. That's why when James Brown came around and said, "Say it loud, I'm black and I'm proud."
Yeah.
It was to take that negativity. We're so far removed from those things to where before it was okay to be called color, but now you call somebody color, they don't like that, right? It's offensive called color. But color was the more acceptable thing.
Yeah.
Because it wasn't, you're not calling me black. I mean, you calling me black was supposed to be a negative word, a negative stereotype.
It's a movement to kind of eliminate that in the 80s, if I'm not mistaken, right?
It was supposed to be offensive to call somebody black.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But
I'm on that James Brown stuff, man. White. It's like, whatever, man. I don't care. Mm-hmm. I don't care about none of that. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like,
because it doesn't truly change anything. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, that's my take on it. It don't change nothing. And I feel how I feel about it. You know what I'm saying? Like, you don't determine how I feel about me. You know what I'm saying? Like, so you can call me what you want. It don't change my feelings towards myself. Like, that's self-esteem. Or like Cat Williams says, right. Self-esteem with yourself, you sample. Like, yeah, like I'm not worried about that. Like,
yeah.
But man, yeah, I hadn't heard that about, you know, it being offensive to.
I gotta find it.
But it's the world we in, man. You know what I'm saying?
Everybody, yeah, I gotta find it. Shoot that to
you. Call them, like, you know. I can call somebody a man and offend them. You know, it's anything. Anything can offend you. I don't know what to call people nowadays. You know what I'm saying? If I call you a human, you might be offended. Not a human. I identify as a cow. You know, I don't know what's going on with people now, man. Like, I got to be able to call you something. Like, you know
something,
what I'm saying?
Right.
If I call you going to be offended. Like, you know, like, give me something like to use.
What's going
to
happen?
Eyes right now, like, you know what I'm saying.
It's going to have to happen in the future on your ID. You're going to have how you identify yourself. So,
in a name tag, you have to walk around with your name tag on, so I know what to do.
Right.
Because other than that, I can only use my eyes and I see what I see. Like, you know what I'm saying. Like, I identify you as what I see. Like, if I see a fat person and I say you're fat, I identify you as fat because I see that you're fat. And if you don't want to be called that, cool. Like, you know what I'm saying? I get it. It's offensive. Cool. That's what I see. I don't know what else to identify you as. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. But I'm not trying to hurt your feelings. It's, I don't know what else to say about you. Like,
and that's the thing that we're getting to nowadays. You can't say anything about anybody because you don't know how they agree to anything. Somebody could be 300 some pounds, 400 some pounds, but not consider themselves fat. I've seen people who definitely look like you're up there, but they don't consider themselves fat.
Cool. Once again, back to my self-esteem comment. I don't care what you say. It's my esteem of myself. Like, you know, feel how I feel about me. You can feel how you feel about yourself. I don't want to take that away from you. If you 400 pounds and you feel like you look good, do it. You look good then. Yeah. Like, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. But if I identify you as fat, that's my perspective. Let me live in my world. Like, stop trying to make my world your world. Like,
it's like me being offended that you call me bald.
Yeah. I see you as bald. I identify you as a bald man. I don't have him.
It's like kids, you're bald. Right?
Kids, look at us. Is if a kid come up to us, right, and he be like, "Hey, OG, oh, hey, old head," and he identifies me as old. I can't be offended by it. I might not feel old, but I'm
that's offensive now too. Mind.
It is what it is.
I've heard that the auntie thing, women being called auntie, they don't like that. What's wrong with calling somebody? Don't call me auntie. I ain't. Huh?
That's what they identify you as. Stop trying to change other people's reality. Like, change your own reality.
Unk is a slight now? That's a slight to call somebody unk? Really? Who said that? I think it was Diddy. Diddy, he was on the Breakfast Club, and he was offended that somebody called him unk or OG or whatever. He was like, wait, was that supposed to mean like I'm dead or something? Like, I'm not here no more? Like, I just feel like that's an offense. Like,
it's the same thing as when you used to call your OGs OGs. It's that. You just at that age now, and you can't come to terms with your reality or other people's reality or yourself, Diddy. You're like, Puffy. Like, you know what I'm saying? That's what it is. You just...
You 50 plus. What are we supposed to call you? I mean, you lucky we ain't calling you grandpops.
Wear it as a badge. That's the only other thing I'm going to call you is grandpa. Actually, I'm at unk age. He grandpa now, like, but he don't want to own it. Like, yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
Just embrace it. Wear it as a badge of honor. Well, there are a lot of people that didn't get there.
Mm-hmm.
Christopher Wallace and Tupac Shakur didn't get to be unk and OG.
Facts.
You made it. Sean, embrace it. Wear it as a badge of honor and stop trying to be 20 Facts. Again.
Man, you got a point right there. You got a point right there. Man, but that's the thing. Like, everybody's getting offended by every single little thing that we say now. You can't call anybody anything. Can't call somebody auntie. You can't call somebody aunt. Can't call somebody OG. You can't call them black. You can't call them white. You can't call them bald. You can't call them fat. You can't. You. Everybody lives in this different type of reality that they want to be what they want to be. If I'm bald, I'm bald. I can't do anything about it. So if you call me, say, hey, that was that man who was running down the street with the bald head, that was me.
You were talking about Denzel. You didn't know his name. You didn't know what else to call him. The black dude with the bald head running up the black man with the bald head running up the street. That's him. That's what I can identify him as. I don't know his name. If I knew his name, I'd say it's Denzel running up the street.
So I'm supposed to be getting offended by somebody referring to me as the bald man running up the street?
I mean, you know.
It's what it looks like, okay?
You ain't got to like it, but you got to accept some things. Like, you ain't got to like it, you got to accept it. It is what it is. I mean, gee whiz. People just don't... Yeah, a lot of things I've had people say about me, I didn't like it. I took it.
Matter of fact,
I've been called ugly by girls before. Oh, you think I wanted them to call me ugly? You think I identified myself as ugly? No, but that's their perspective of me. It is what it is. Like,
I'm ugly to them. And guess what? I'm ugly today. I'm just going to be ugly for the situation.
I can't control how they feel about me. I can control how I feel about me. I can't control their feelings about me. And we too caught up in that, man. It's too much trying to control other people. Or force your thoughts and opinions on them.
Yeah.
Like, let go of it.
Let me ask you this. Let me ask you this. And because it just brought up another thought to my thought process. Do you think that we're just in denial, more so in denial about ourselves because of the society that we're creating now, this filter society and self-identification society, are we just in denial about ourselves? And we don't want to accept what is true about ourselves? Because a lot of times, like, so many people skew their view of who they are to the point that they believe that there's something different than what they actually really truly are.
It's very well possible. It's a lot of believing the hype, believing your own hype. And then you marry that with woke culture. And the two has become this disgusting thing that we go through now, like where everybody
it's such a contradiction, but then it creates this mess when it comes together. It's oil and water, truly. Yeah. And it's like you're pouring this oil and water in the cup and you're trying to stir it up and it just becomes this nasty looking concoction.
Yeah.
Because you got water, you got oil, two things that don't go together, the woke culture and this filter society.
Yeah.
Like how do you have this skewed view of reality, but then you have to also bring wokeness with it which is supposed to be the idea of true reality.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And those two, that's the world we're in, where they're meshing these two together and it's causing confusion. And I don't have an issue with either one of them, but we can't do both of them at the same time. Like,
same
either
time.
I'm woke or either we pretending. Which one is it? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. I can't pretend and be woke. You know what I'm saying? But we're doing them both together, man. And it is causing a headache to people who just in the middle. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah, so many people filter their pictures and do all of this photoshopping on their pictures, and this is the image that they got to put out, and they start believing the image that they put out. And it's like, you actually don't really look like that, but in their mind, that's what they're starting to become. You know, we do that with our level of wealth or whatever we think that we have in our pocket. We start living a certain way, get a certain car, or try to dress a certain way and start thinking that we have this. But then when somebody calls us broke, we're offended that somebody calls us broke because, hey, what I'm trying to show you doesn't make me look like I'm broke. I drive this car and I do this, but your bank account speaks otherwise. You know what I'm saying? But you're offended that somebody called you broke because the image that you're trying to portray is against the image that's actually the truth.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I drive a Benz, but I'm not broke, but I ain't rich. You know what I'm saying? But if somebody looked at my bank account and said, man, you need some help, I'm going to get offended that somebody was saying that, hey, yeah, I can plus up my my level of income. And that my money really ain't no true money. Offended that you call like somebody who's richer than me call me broke. Well, I'm not saying that's a lot of people who got more money than me, but you know, see, like I'm offended because
if a millionaire looked at your account and said, "Hey, man, you could be better off," you'd be offended by it. That don't make sense. Yeah. Like sometimes people telling you some stuff for your own good. Like you know what I'm saying? Like. When did reality become a bad thing? Like, you know what I'm saying? I don't understand when it.
You can't tell somebody, hey, bro, you might need to start working out.
You get offended by that.
You're looking out of shape. I've been there before. I've been there before, and I'm able to snap out of it real quick because I'm one of those people who, you know what I'm saying? If I know I got to get it together, okay, I got to get it together. You see me bloom up and come down here and there. But I'm open to that. Somebody say, one time I was in PT, I took my shirt off after PT, like, dang, so rich, man, you're struggling there, ain't you? You need to hit the gym again. Like, dang. It sucked for that minute for them to tell me that, but like, yeah, you're right. Let me get back in the gym real quick. Let me do these push-ups. Let me get back right.
What's even funnier is you knew that before they said it to you. Mm-hmm. It just sucks to hear it. That's the only thing. No, everybody, can't nobody tell me nothing about me I'm not aware of. Like, you know what I'm saying?
True.
Sucks to hear some of it, but it's like, you caught me. I am bad. Like, you know what I'm saying? It's mm-hmm. it. Like, accept it and go forward.
Right.
And that's the downside to it, is like people be knowing some of the stuff that people be calling them on. You know you full mm-hmm. of it, and then when I say it to you, you take issue with it. You knew it before I said it. You knew that you had a gut, and if I tell you got a gut, don't get offended by it. Now, if you like your gut, tell me you like your gut if you mean it, and if you content with that and you like what you see. That's fine. But if you come to me and ask me, hey, do I got, and we keep giving the fat example, maybe we can move on to something else. But but if you come
to me, I had to bring that one back to myself, man.
I say, yeah, you got a gut. Don't get mad at me afterwards. Like, you know what I'm saying? For telling the truth. Because you came to me and asked me because you knew you had a gut. You just wanted me to verify it. Like, so what do you want? The truth or you want me to lie to you? Because I can do either one.
Most people want you to lie to them. Most people want you to lie to them.
That's the issue. Yeah, that's the issue. That's where filter society clashes with woke society. Because mm-hmm. that woke culture is telling me I need to go wake up and be real about what's going on in the world around me. I need to be aware. And filter culture is telling me, hey, man, it's all right. You can just hide it.
Yeah. Or you think you hide in it. Mm-hmm. You think you hide in it.
I can force other people. I can guilt people. I can truth shame people. How about we start that now? You know, how about that's a thing? Everybody truth else shaming? Gets shame people. Yeah. You truth shame me. I tell you the truth.
No, I mean,
shame me for telling the truth.
I think, I mean, we, that's already a thing. We just never put a name to it. It is that let's start calling it what it is. Let's start calling it truth shaming. And I think that's what's happening, even like going back to the Kanye thing, shaming an individual for trying to tell what's truth about society, canceling somebody for being truthful about society.
Yeah. Like, you might not like my delivery that I say stuff. That's fair. Yes, maybe I could take the time to word it a little more politely and everything else. But that's what thick skin comes into it at. You know what I'm saying? At a certain point, you got to take how your statement makes me feel to the side and actually analyze what that person said and then take it for what it is. And then
especially when... Go ahead.
No, I'm just saying, and then you can decide if they were right or wrong or how you truly feel about what they had to say. But see, that's what happens way too often. Deal with that when me and my wife go back and forth. It is how my statement made her feel versus if my statement was right or not. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, and in the moment we might argue, but then she'll come back to me afterwards and tell me I was right about it. Like,
it's just how the statement made her feel
first. Yeah, it made you feel a certain way. My delivery was off. You know what I'm saying? But it didn't take away from the truth. Like, you know what I'm saying? And us as a society, we got to figure that out. As people, we got to figure that out. Because we're all different. Like, I'm the type of person, if the world was going to end tomorrow, I would want to know. Some people might not want to know that.
Don't want to know. You know what I'm saying? Right.
And because we have a difference in personalities when it comes to that, then we have to have a difference in deliveries also. You know what I'm saying? To get the message out. But the message is what the message
is. Not everybody has the same response to, you know what I'm saying, certain deliveries. You know what I'm saying? So you have to tailor your delivery a lot of times to or particular individuals. Truths. But then you don't know every individual to cater to everybody's idea how they like to be given information. Right. So you can't spend every day, you know what I'm saying, filtering every single thing you say because you don't know how somebody desires it. I mean, like, if you have personal relationships, okay, yeah, figure out a way to get the information, convey the information the right way to personal individuals that you know. But if you're speaking to a broad group of people or you're speaking what's on your mind, you don't have the time to sit back and try to figure out what's the best delivery at every single turn. Sometimes you just have to speak what's on your mind and get out what you need to say. And then whoever takes it positive, takes it positive. Whoever takes offense to it, takes offense to it. But you had to say whatever true. Like, yes, a lot of times you do need to understand your delivery, but you can't cater to everybody. There's so many billion people in this world. I can't find the best way that each billion person in this world is going to figure out that they appreciate my delivery and how I gave it to them.
Right.
Sometimes you can't.
And here's the other thing to it. Some people are going to lean towards certain deliveries that other people won't. But if I deliver it smooth to you, I've been yelling this whole episode, right? Let's say if I said everything smooth and calm at this tone and this delivery and I spoke my whole message, there'll be some people that's attracted to that. There'll be a lot of people that'll be indifferent to it. You know what I'm saying? They won't care. They'll tune out. So usually when you're being extreme is when people are drawn to it anyway. You know what I'm saying?
Or take you serious. Or take you serious. Sometimes you have to convey a message in a way that people know that you mean what you say. Mm-hmm. If I say it in a way that doesn't sound affirmative, like that I actually embody what it is that I'm saying,
you may think that's
take it seriously.
Yeah.
Like, you don't really mean what you say. I don't see enough emotion in it.
Yeah.
So if you really felt that way, you'd be a little bit more emotional about it.
Right. So that's
case two.
Yeah, you got to... That plays a part too. Sometimes I gotta deliver my message with some passion or let you know I'm for real, I'm serious, or be worked up. Now, I might do that and that might be offensive to you, but I needed that delivery to get my point across. I was serious. I meant it. This meant something to me. This was important to me. You needed to hear it and take it seriously. Or else, you know what I'm saying? But at the same time, me doing that could offend you. You could be sensitive and be like, oh, he's attacking me. You know what I'm saying? Because they're saying it that way.
But we can't be too consumed in that. Because if we were so consumed in that, then the truth would never get out. We would never speak on how we feel. We would never get any progression out of anything. There would never, ever be any progression. And I think in some sectors, that's what they want. Because if there's no progression, whoever is here stays here, and who's ever here stays here. So,
yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Is that the reaction to Kanye? That, hey, look, we don't want progression, because if there's progression, that means I'm going to have to come down here, and these people who are down here are going to have to come up here, and I don't want that.
Yeah. And I mean, ultimately, who benefits from truth shaming? It's overall, the regular people don't. You know what I'm saying? We don't benefit from eliminating the truth. The average person don't benefit from eliminating truth. You know what I'm saying? Like,
I say, nobody benefits from that. Really?
Nobody. Except for the person that's got something to hide.
Yeah. 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 You're trying to protect yours. Yeah. And so when, honestly, if somebody tells the truth and there's a situation, and oh, that's the people who are canceling that other person, we might need to put the microscope on that. Like, okay, well, you're canceling because of this being said and that being said, or the offense to this and that, the extreme offense to it, lets me know that where there's smoke, there's fire. That's my clear indicator that, hey, that something ain't right in the water.
There you go. Hey, man, I don't know. Well, I don't know where this show is going, man. Are we going to do final reviews? Are we going to go into another topic? What are we doing here, man? You know, we missed midway reviews.
We did. I have another topic, but we can say that for another time, because we can probably go for another hour on this one.
On that one.
I don't know about you, but I know I can personally. But we can get into that at another time. We can go again.
Hey, man, you ain't been smoking your cigar, man. You gonna give me a review for real?
Hey, look, man.
Okay.
I got through my first third. I'm just tapping into my second third, to be honest with you. But I'll go first. I'll go ahead and give you my review first then. We missed a midway review. And honestly, I didn't really even make it midway to the cigar. I'm just getting to the second third. And whew, honestly, it's kind of having me doubt whether my palate is as mature and as up there as I thought. You know what I mean? So I'm going to take this one on me. Maybe I've been smoking too many light flavor cigars lately, that this 95 rated number 3 cigar in aficionado ratings is supposed to be a number 3. Was it number 3 to me? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Honestly, for my liking, too harsh in the beginning. The harshness did dissipate a little bit, so it died down. But not enough to where I could truly, truly enjoy the cigar. Now, where it goes in the second and final third, could it get better and get to that sweet spot of for me to enjoy? We'll find out later. We'll find out in the post smoke, and I'll do my review as I try to finish this guy up. But man, too oily for me. Too much leather for me. Not enough of those nice, hearty, earthy notes. The cocoa that I like. The oak that I like, you know what I'm saying? Like a lot of that earthiness, a little bit too much pepper in the beginning. Is it a well-packaged cigar? Yes. So maybe that's where the rating comes from, but based on my enjoyability of the cigar, I'm going to give it a 3.2.
Ooh.
A 3.2. And also, a 3.2, man. I didn't enjoy the cigar. I'm not gonna say I didn't like it as much as like a Gurkha or Brickhouse or whatever, but because of the rating was up there, and then my palate just did not take to it. It could have been the whiskey that I drank neat. Maybe I needed to splash some ginger ale, kill some of the whiskey a little bit. Maybe I had too much harshness on my palate from the whiskey and then also the cigar. Maybe my pairing was off, and I'm gonna leave it to maybe that. Maybe my pairing was just a little bit too much for my palate today. I'm going to give this smoke a 3.2.
Wow, bro. All right. And that is the that Gwen-Gwen? Aging that Room?
Gwen-Gwen? No. The Wise Man. Wise Man.
Gwen-Gwen.
El Guanis. Guanis.
I'm guessing no more Wise Man cigars for you if you see them around then.
I'm not gonna rule them out completely. You know what I mean? I'm gonna find out if this smoke gets better. I'm gonna find out if it gets better. I want it to get better. But I'm more than willing to try some other cigars, like the Davidoff that we had a few weeks back. The one that was supposed to be real peppery that I actually enjoyed.
Yeah.
Maybe Davidoff has some other ones that probably would have rubbed me the wrong way. So I'm not gonna write the brand off, not just off of one cigar. It wasn't that bad to where I'm gonna write the whole brand off. So
okay.
Might be some more in the future. But I'll do my homework before.
All right. Well, for me, I got the La Gloria Cubana Classic. I give this a 4.3. If aficionado or someone rates it around a 92, I think that's about an accurate rating for it as a cigar.
Okay, okay.
The 98 was actually the number. You know, I don't know about 98, but 92 around there, I'm not mad at that. But for us, 1 to 5, 4.3 is what I give it. Picked up on a little bit of it was mainly like a chocolatey and cedar is what the flavors I picked up on, that cedar.
Okay.
I don't even think it was the stick because the cedar remained throughout it. And I relit twice and I didn't use the cedar stick, but only on the initial one. So I think the cedar that I was picking up is part of the cigar somehow. A little bit of leather, Done very smoothly, like the other brands that we bragged on how they did leather smoothly. They did a good job with the leather on this. And I would say this stick probably had a little bit of oiliness to it, too. But it was all of that was done well. The predominant thing mostly was the cedar. That was the most predominant up front. Very creamy, good smoke, medium body smoke. And I would say the chocolate was the next predominant thing. The oil and the leather was on underneath that. But I liked it, man. It was a good stick, man. I would revisit this.
You won. At some point. Yeah, you won. Yeah, for sure. Nice, nice. I'm kind of jealous, man. I'm hating a little bit. we took some weeks off, and your smoke, you killed me on the smoke, man.
I came back good. You came back down, man. You know. But hey, man, that's the Meta World Peace episode, man. You know, we did all that talking about the world and what it is today. But we want world peace, baby. You know, truth be told, we just want world peace, man. I want all y'all peaceful, man. Yeah, stop infringing on my right to speak, man. Stop canceling people.
We can only get better if we let people speak and we can just be receptive, man. Just be receptive. Whether you like it or not, it's not really going to affect you individually, but it will make the society better overall.
Right.
You know what I mean? You will be fine if somebody has a critique that you don't like.
That's the final statement to take from this episode. All of the black and white talk and the whatever else we said and the shame and all this other talk. Forget all that. Let's sum it up with, let people have the right to talk, man. Freedom of speech, man. That's all it's about, man. But anyway, that's the end of this episode, man. We appreciate y'all for tuning in to another episode of this week's episode of the Cigars and Everything Else podcast. We'll get with you next week on episode 38. We out.
We're doing cigars up.